Before we start here today, I wanted to take the opportunity to speak a little bit about Rav Shteinman. I want to speak about it because I find it very valuable. I want to speak about it because, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to... maybe bring it in after. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to attend the Levaya, as we had a hard time as yeshiva, getting access to buses and the like. But I did want to take the opportunity of speaking about Rav Shteinman. It's good to first point out, and I hope that this is okay, Gedolei Yisrael as a whole, so are an incredibly unique group of people, worthy undoubtedly of our admiration. We spend so much of our time learning the Torah of Gedolei Yisrael. In general, there are Gedolei Yisrael that we have an easier, or in some we have a harder time connecting to. Those Gedolim that we view as really part of our tzibur directly, those names that we look to or people we look to when we have questions or looking for guidance, are sometimes a little bit easier for us to develop a certain kind of kesher to. As an example, you know, again, for many in the room, when Rav Lichtenstein passed away, that was a gadol b'Yisrael that many viewed as really in line of their mesorah. It's my Rebbe's Rebbe. And in that sense, there was one kind of a connection. There are other kinds of gedolim that it's easy to connect to, even if we're not... We look at who are our Rebbeim and our Rebbeim's Rebbeim. So I don't know how many of us have Rebbeim that were Talmidim or Rav Shteinman. But there are also Gedolei Yisrael, whose Torah is a Torah that we are very familiar with. The Torah of Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Torah of Rav Avadia, that's a Torah that we're familiar with. Those are names that we hear all the time. When we're talking about anything, we're talking about Hilchos Chanukah. So we speak about Rav Avadia, we speak about Rav Shlomo Zalman. We speak sometimes about Rav Eliashiv, and these are figures that we're familiar with. Not always because we're directly in their, again, in their narrow, direct Mesorah, but they're figures that we connect with because their Torah is a Torah that we feel a lot of shaychus to. Rav Shteinman presents for many of us a unique kind of challenge to try to connect to who he was as a giant in Torah. For some, this is true especially for some of the Israelis in the room, potentially, and certainly in the yeshiva. The fact that Rav Shteinman was a figure, especially later in his life, who was very much affiliated with a particular political party, that did not believe in going to the army and did not believe in the ideals of a Hesder yeshiva, presents again another challenge, because he's someone that not just I don't view as being part of my Mesorah, but for some there's a certain distance that undoubtedly occurs. Happens to be Rav Shteinman also, primarily his Torah, we'll speak about his Torah in a little bit, is not Torah that we hear quoted as often. He wrote many, many volumes on Shas, also on Chumash, called Ayelas HaShachar. That's Lamdas, or it's Achronim on Gemara. We'll speak about whether it's Lamdas in a second. But it's Dan Gemara, and sometimes Psak, of modern people in Psak, we quote all the time, but sometimes in the world of Lamdas. So it's a Sefer which some of us have opened up for sure. I was checking this morning. I think came out every Masechta that we've learned as a shir. There's been at least one or two Ayelas HaShachars, but it's not a sefer that we come back to time and time again. And in that sense, there's less of his Torah that we are as familiar with. I want to try to speak about three aspects of Rav Shteinman. I hope that that's okay, to give us some sort of an appreciation for who he really was. The first is going to be will be his relationship to Torah. Then we'll speak about his relationship to Mesorah. And the third, we'll speak a little about his role as a manhig and some of the things he stood for, which I think are very powerful. So like this, Rav Shteinman had a vort. It's in a sefer called Tzadik Katamar Yifrach. His wife's name was Tamar. That's why Asaf Niel Shachar, a sefer called Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, which were things they heard from Rav Shteinman after his wife passed away. Another one called Ela B'Tamar. His wife's name was referenced in the name of a couple of these svarim. So I'll share with you a vort. It's on page 44 of the Sefer Tzadik Katamar Yifrach that I think about Rav Shteinman is a good model. The Gemara says, Nivamos Ndav Samech Beis, Yibikiva Omer, Lamatora Bialduso, Yomotora Bizik Nuso. If a person learns Torah when they're young, they still have to learn Torah when they're old. Rav Shteinman asked a very simple question, which is, what exactly is the Chiddush? Why would I think that because I learned Torah when I'm young, I have to also learn Torah when I'm old? So Shteinman said that there is a phenomenon sometimes that a person thinks that when they're younger, so I learned a lot of Gemara Be'ian, and I worked very, very hard as far as understanding sugyas. And a person can think that when they're older, So there's a certain kind of amelus that I'm not going to be able to have as much. I think that when I was younger, I was able to sit. I was able to read a Balam Or and a Ramban. I was able to read a long Rashba. But as I'm older, so I'll keep things a little bit more superficial. I'll keep things a little bit more in the realm of Bikias. And Rav Steinman said, no. That's not the pshat in the Gemara is, Kamash Malon de Gam Be'ezik Nuso, Tzarech Lumo Be'ion Kmo Be'al Duso. That a person has to hold himself to similar standards when you're young and you have lots of energy and you're very powerful, and also when you're old. Steinman passed away, I believe he was 104 years old. And if you are familiar with him, and the person that he was a person that was learned when he was young and he learned when he was old. He learned when he was old at a very, very high level and with real hasmada. And even though he already had things worked out and even though he already had mahalchim, he's a person that was learning in a very, very in a very intense way at an older age. Rav Steinman also is one, as far as his Torah goes, so he grew up near the Briska Rav. We'll speak about that in a second. But he wrote on a lot of mesechtas. One of the things that a person, the more they learn, gains appreciation for, that there are some great achronim that wrote on like the yeshivisha mesechtas. And then when you learn more standard mesechta, so that's when you learn some of those achronim. Sometimes when you continue learning other kinds of mesechtas that people don't learn as much, so then one begins to appreciate some of the great gedolim who wrote on all areas of Torah. The Chazon Ish, as an example, is someone that only as you sometimes learn more and more, and suddenly I'm learning in the world of Zrayim or Kachim and Taro, suddenly the Chazon Ish and his status is something which I can connect to much more. Rav Steinman, for me, I think one of the first times that I started getting in a little bit to some of his lamdas, or some of his Sfarim Gemara, was in Maseches Zvachim. There he has Yosef Shachar and Zvachim is an exceptionally impressive work. It's not standard brisk, which is probably one of the reasons why it's not as popular. Rav Steinman, and many of us, I think, would actually connect to some of his farm, his true first farm, and Chumash also. He deals with a lot of the details. He deals with a lot of pshat, try to understand just the basics of what happens. Sometimes, I remember, like, you're learning something, and you have a question that seems to be just like a very basic, simple question, not a fancy question, but just stuck on something. So one of the Sfarim that I would look to, if I see it's not in any of these like more standard Rishonim Achronim, so Yalsa Shachar is one of the first places that I go sometimes for just like a pshat. It's not always going to be super lumdish. He knew that. It was going to be about talking about, you know, individual details. I think he joked once, I believe, that, you know, it's like Tut and Chumash also. It's getting the pshat is that people sometimes are bothered, you know, how come you're not just like giving me like the nice, sweet, you know, lumdish ideas? So I think he said, like, you know, the Ramban and the Or HaChaim also in their Pirushim and Chumash spoke sometimes about these like not so exciting, not so popular things as far as Peshat. But I think he joked something along the lines of, but they were Gedolim, so it was okay. You know, with me, they get bothered by it. And there's a certain, as far as the way that he learned, a certain kind of precision and a certain care, even about just details to understand things well and to understand them slowly. Now, you know, he had 104 years, so even if you're learning slowly, you know, you can make up for it. But he definitely as far as pure hasmada, something which is incredibly, incredibly powerful, and happens to be as far as his unique contribution, let's say in the world of Zvachim, I think Rav Steinman himself said that the world of Zvachim is in large part dominated by Brisk. He had a little bit of different style in terms of learning, and then he presented a little bit of different style as far as how to learn Kachem. As far as Mesorah goes, Rav Steinman was, I believe, Rav Steinman grew up in Brisk. His family was very close to, I think they were even neighbors of the Briska Rav. And the Briska Rav was there. He has lots and lots of maisas. He remembers of growing up there and hearing Torah from the Briska Rav and hearing Torah from Simcha Zelig, who was the dayan in Brisk. There's a sefer here called Ela B'Tamar, Mitoras Briska, from sharing a lot of his recollections. The sefer happens to be, it's really beautiful. I have a very good friend that bought a copy of it for a Shechter. So when I saw Shechter in the summer, after the friend gave it to him, so he passed a comment to me. It was he said, the Sefer is so good. I was up Friday night till way after 1 o'clock in the morning. I just couldn't put it down. I couldn't go to sleep. It's a beautiful Sefer of some of his recollections. In there, he quotes a Ma'isa that Reb Chaim, when the Maril Diskin passed away, and when Reb Chaim, there was going to be a hesped for the Maril Diskin, so Reb Chaim was very, very machbid that the hesped should be given over in a way that he thought was appropriate. and he actually had the person practice to give the hesped in order to make sure that the hesped should be appropriate, and therefore, again, hopefully on some level living up to at least a little bit it being appropriate. But there's a connection to the world of Mesorah, many Gedolei Yisrael. Those are people that Rav Steinman had relationships with. Many of the people that we quote, those are people that Rav Steinman was knew. He heard them, live figures for him, from some of these giants in Europe. I believe when he was younger, he heard Torah from Reb Chaim. To think that you're hearing someone who heard from Mamish, some of the greats, and that those links in Mesorah for us are really, really important. When we really connect to things, so the fact that like you have a friend who, or you know someone who once met certain figures, the more that you're connected, the more that stuff is very, very valuable. A lot of your Mesorah is predicated on the world of Brisk and what that represents as far as Talmud Torah. Here's someone who he grew up there. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. He was very good friends with the Brisker Rav's son. They learned together a lot. His father was like the Brisker Rav's right-hand man in a certain sense. Being involved, his father was I don't believe his father was a massive Talmud Chacham at all. Rav Steinman worked very, very hard over a lot of time. He was younger also. And a certain like fidelity and a certain kind of connection to Mesorah is something which is very valuable. Something which is very valuable. The people he connected to are people that are big. Maises of him talking with the Chazon Ish. And again, these are major figures. And the more that we learn, the more we're familiar with them, the more we see his place in that world, and the more they were able to appreciate it. For most of the Tzibor, Rav Steinman is most known, not for the particular Torah that he gave over, nor even for his connection to a world of Torah. But Rav Steinman is identified in many ways as a manhig. He's a leader. He's a person that started playing a large role in Klal Yisrael for a while when Rav Eliashiv was around, also played a role. But after the passing of Rav Eliashiv, became number one. He became the primary manhig in the yeshivish world. Questions from all over. A person who's 100 years old, who's just dealing with questions all day from everywhere. The pure stamina is something which is inspiring. He happens to be someone as a manhig. I'll speak about three things that I think he did as a manhig that we can very much connect to. Number one, Rav Steinman in his thought as a whole. Very much emphasized the role of Mesiras Nefesh for Torah and how it's okay to not have a lot of money. Steinman was someone that lived a very simple life himself. If you see the pictures of what his home looked like and where he sat, Steinman was someone that did not have, he was far, far, far from being wealthy. Steinman, to my understanding, is someone who spoke a lot about the godless of a person who is willing to sacrifice material gains for Talmud Torah. It's very, very powerful. A real emphasis in his thought. The Ketzos' popularity is because Rav Steinman would say over that the Ketzos' popularity is related to the fact that Ketzos was very poor when he wrote it. A Malam made a teacher who's poor sometimes, Rav Steinman thought. Those are the Malamdim that often have the greatest impact. Someone who was not about the physical world, he was not about emphasizing materialism. A simple Jew who worked hard and believed that we should be willing to sacrifice for Torah. Rav Steinman also was a person, this is a Mesorah, a bit from the Chazon Ish, but important to know, it's a very, very famous YouTube video about this, if you've seen it. It's written up in some of this farm also. Rav Steinman was a believer that all Jews should have access to Torah. He was a strong opponent of throwing kids out of school. He was not the biggest believer in schools that have policies that are too exclusive, gaiva, if you've seen the video, this idea that like I only want to be around top people all the time, and they're the only ones that should really be in yeshiva. That's something which is rooted sometimes in a little bit of gaiva. And for Steinman, there was a strong belief that we got to take care of people, and that part of having an achrayus is an achrayus to that all Jews should have a certain access to the world of Torah. The third point, as far as being a manhig, is a unique one. It was not, I don't think, a dominant part in who he was, but certainly an important one. Steinman was not the Lubavitch Rebbe as far as spreading, let's send everyone out and be actively involved and going to a million places and having all of his chassidim or talmidim go all around. Steinman was, in his core, more of a classic masmid. He was a classic Rosh Hashiva, Lamdin, who taught Torah at a very, very high level. again, less well known for his psak tshuvas. He was more of a classical lamdan, and one who sat in many years in a very narrow world of B'nai Brak and Brisk, etc., not traveling all over the place and the like. Steinman did, though, probably about 10 years ago, I would guess. Someone could check as far as really how long ago. Rav Steinman did, I remember, make a trip to America once. That was a very, very big deal when he wanted to go spread Torah. To go spread Torah to America. I remember he spoke in Washington Heights. He spoke in Breuers. I remember going over and being able to hear him. And he spoke, I believe, if I remember correctly, he spoke in Yiddish, and maybe someone translated a bit. I did not have any idea as to what he was talking about. I couldn't understand a word. To be in the presence of someone, you saw it in him. When the Gemara says that learning Torah sometimes like weakens a person, the feeling of, if you've ever had the opportunity of seeing this, a person who was moser nefesh for Talmud Torah, to the extent to which he was like mivatel his guf a bit. He was not someone who was like, you know, not looking in the mirror all the time. He was a person who was so shakua in Talmud Torah that when you had the opportunity to see him, you felt that. There was something above, not olam hazeh, Dick, in witnessing him and seeing him do that. And he made the choice that he wanted to go spread Torah to places and to people that would gain chizuk from him. He was a person that, while in many ways focused on his own tzibor, was a person that definitely displayed a degree of connection for those out of his tzibor, and a person that in the world of Talmud Torah, we don't have that many. You know, we don't have that many who remember as well the world of Torah that comes from Europe, that world of Torah that comes from some of these great achronim, the Brisker Rav, and then the Tziv, and the Chavetz Chaim, and so many. We don't have as many people anymore that remember those figures, that remember what it was like to witness those people. It's unfathomable to think what that meant, to sit in the shear of the Grizz and be able to hear that. And the more Grizz that you learn, and the more we feel connected with the Torah, the more that we're going to be able undoubtedly to feel it. I'll end by just pointing out something that I love saying over. Rav Yaakovson always would say, and I think this is the appropriate reaction, Yaakovson would always say, I believe probably based on the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Rav Yaakovson would always say that when someone passes away, so it's always the achrayus of those remaining to try and fill that void. Simon was a giant in Torah. He was a massive, massive Talmud Chacham. Massive. Hasfarim that they're important and they're real. They're deep. And a massive, massive Talmud Chacham. Steinman was a person who was a massive, massive manhig. He was a person who felt a very strong fidelity, a very strong connection to the notion of Mesorah, to what a Mesorah is all about. What I would highly recommend, I think it's the appropriate response for those of us, the Kavuras now, for us to try to strengthen ourselves in one of those realms. Try to strengthen ourselves in one of those realms, to try to do our share in trying to fill that void. The world lost someone big today. The world lost someone massive. Someone who was a link in the Mesorah, Pshuto Kamashmo. Someone who, he was big. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He was a giant. And we want to become the kinds of people that we connect to this, and that when they move on, we want to understand, how can I be most if something now as a result? What can I do to learn with just a bit more hasmada? Chanukah comes up, and there's less time to learn. What can I do to be just most of a little bit? Can I be mekabel to learn just a little bit more over the next little bit than I would have done otherwise? Can I strengthen myself a little bit to appreciate what it means to have Gedolei Yisrael, and what it means to be someone who's a link in that Mesorah, a link in that tradition, a person that knows that world and grew up amongst absolute giants, and so many just memories of them, and the culture that they represented, the jokes also, and the maisas that they have, a person with incredible sensitivity and achrayas for Klal Yisrael. So that's something which is powerful. It's not a name that we're going to see in the Tshuva Sfarim as much. It's not a name that we're going to see as much You know, in the back of a Masifta, when they summarize things, you'll see somebody else's shacharis, but not so consistently. But it's the name of a person that mattered a lot. That mattered a lot. It's a person that contributed in certain areas of halacha. We learned in the Gana a couple of years ago. You know, we had somebody else's shacharis. It's a person that's significant, and we should do our best whenever possible to try to connect, to try to appreciate. If we're at the point where to try to mourn a little bit, and certainly to try to fill a void, when people pass away, so we want to try to fill a void with hasmada, with a connection to Mesorah, and to appreciate his godless in many ways as a manhig, a godless which, by the way, turned off certain people to the left of him and turned off a lot of people to the right of him, a bit of an independent voice. If you were when I was in Eretz Yisrael, you would see signs up, you know, Steinman equals Cook, and they didn't mean it as a compliment. That Rav Steinman, you know, was from the right. People could. He was a person who was principled. He was a person that stood for certain values. He was willing to stand for those values. He did not like machlokas at all. Did not like inserting himself in machlokas, but felt an achrayus to do so. And a person, I think, worthy of enormous, enormous respect for what he stood for and what he did. And we should be zocha to appreciate that. And his neshama should undoubtedly have an aliyah.